Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of the harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field while the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you noticed me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You've put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed is the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law.
Thank you, Andrew. And As I mentioned, you've got the B team, but actually we have the A star team. And because we're here not to listen to me, we're here to listen to God. So let's just ask that God will speak. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for every word that is written in this book. And Lord, we thank you that you, through this, you have revealed your loving kindness to us. And Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, that you would stir our hearts, Lord, that you would speak to us, each one of us, that we would know your presence and that we would see much more of your loving kindness for us. So speak through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So what were you doing on the 17th of February this year? In case you're wondering, it was a Friday. Did you perform a random act of kindness on that day? Were you aware that it was a random act of kindness day? The 7th, apparently, I didn't know, the 17th of February has been denoted Random Act of Kindness Day, which is an annual celebration that encourages small amounts of goodwill and compassion towards ourselves and others. It was initiated in Denver, Colorado by the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation in 1995 and has since spread worldwide. It's a great idea. Just doing something small like buying a complete stranger a cup of coffee or asking the postman how their day is going, or even instead of walking past litter on the ground and tutting about people that throw litter, that you stop and pick it up and put it in the bin. All wonderful little things that the foundation hopes, and I quote, connect you to your humanity, reminds you how much love there is in the world, and inspires you to pay it forward. Can you imagine a world where kindness is the norm? They encourage you to become a racktivist by signing up and making the world a better place, one act of kindness at a time. But to date, their website only has 45,564 from 89 countries. Now, in the story of Ruth, we come face to face with not just random acts of kindness, but a beautiful, beautiful loving kindness that shines through the three main characters of the book, revealing the loving kindness of God, who blesses abundantly all those who humbly seek after him. Now, in chapter 1, we met Naomi first of all. She and her family had left Judah and to go to Moab because of the famine in the land. But while she was there, she came on very hard times as her husband and both her sons died, leaving her without any male members in her family. And that, in that context, that was a huge, huge problem. And as Naomi, her name means pleasant, returned to Judah, she wanted to be called Mara, which means bitter. Because, as she said, she went away full, but the Lord brought her back empty. But Naomi was not left alone. We met Ruth, the widow of one of her sons, a Moabite, who had made an astonishing pledge to her mother-in-law that she would leave her homeland, her gods, the opportunity of finding a husband behind. She pledged, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God." Now, if you missed Joel's talk last week, where he unpacked the events of chapter 1, I really recommend that you head to the church YouTube channel or to the church website and dig up the audio version. Really, I can't recommend it enough. So today we find ourselves in chapter 2. And at the start of chapter 2, the author introduces us to Boaz. Now, to us, there doesn't appear to be much reason to suddenly introduce Boaz in this way. But to the Jewish reader, this was like sending up a flare, illuminating the scene. The information about Boaz would have been highly significant and wouldn't need spelling out to the Jewish reader. This is a male relative on Naomi's side, on Naomi's husband's side, the clan of Elimelech. Now, Naomi had explained the hopelessness of the situation to her daughters-in-law. that sticking with her would mean no husband. And yet here, right at the start of the chapter, we have a male relative of Elimelech. So the Jewish reader, his mind would instantly be drawn to the provisions that God had made for his people in two laws. One is found in Deuteronomy chapter 25, where a male member of a family would marry a dead man's widow to provide offspring to preserve that man's name. The second is in Leviticus 25, which protects the land of the Israelites who fall on hard times, that their nearest relative is to redeem that land that has been sold. So in the book of Ruth, we see both of these laws having a significant part to play in this story. So let's get into the story. We start in the story in chapter 2 with a conversation between Naomi and Ruth. Verse 2. Ruth takes up the initiative and says to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Out of her love for Naomi, she is prepared to go out to work for them both. Here Ruth is picking up on yet another part of God's law in Leviticus chapter 23, which makes provision for the poor and needy by commanding a farmer not to reap to the very edges of the field or to gather up the gleanings of the harvest. They were to leave them for the poor and the foreigner. So Ruth heads out and finds a field where the harvest has begun and starts to pick up the gleanings. That's the bits that they've missed, all the scraps that are left lying around. Notice that it just so happens that the field she chose belongs to this Boaz character that we were introduced to at the start of the chapter, who just so happens to be a male relative of Elimelech's. And then it just so happens that Boaz rocks up at the field that day to see how the harvest is going. And when he arrives, he speaks to the overseer of the harvest. And in that conversation, we see more of the character of Ruth coming out. Ruth had firstly sought permission before coming into the field, verse 7. "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." Rather than coming in and demanding her rights to glean according to the law. Not only was she respectful, she was a hard worker. The overseer observed that she had worked hard, only taking a short rest. Then when Boaz goes over to speak to her and offers her protection and water for her thirst, her response in verse 10, "At this she bowed down with her face to the ground." She recognized her unworthiness. "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Ruth must have been overwhelmed. This wasn't what she was expecting. As a Moabite, at best, she would have expected quiet tolerance, letting her get on with picking up the scraps, and at worst, to actually receive abuse for the color of her skin, her accent, the way she dressed, and as a young woman on her own, even sexual intimidation and abuse by the men of the field. Given Boaz's assurance in verse 9, "I have told the men not to lay a hand on you," suggests that this was a really serious threat. But here, Boaz has provided her, a complete stranger, a foreigner, protection and water to drink. And her reaction is humble gratitude. And then Boaz let her know that he is aware of the loving kindness that she's shown Naomi as she has given everything to support her mother-in-law, how she's left her home, left her chance of a husband, and then gone out to labor in the hot sun to bring home some grain. She could easily have taken this as reasons to believe that she has earned this grace, and yet she still continues in humility, recognizing her lack of standing and her desire is that only that the favor shown to her continues, and she continues to find refuge. Sadly, today, as we see many examples of receiving grace, which is my right, or I've done my bit, now society should provide for me. In 2013, there was a Channel 4 filmed a documentary which challenged benefit claimants to live on 1949 handouts. There was one lady, 54-year-old lady, fashionably dressed, driving a people carrier. Neither her car nor her clothes were paid for by wages. Instead, she was among the 20 million people at the time that were claiming benefits in Britain. She'd been a care assistant for 22 years before spending 7 years on benefits because she had diabetes, irregular heart rhythm, arthritis, backache, and high blood pressure. "I've done my beep, 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 beep share for Britain," is what she said. "I've worked for me money, and I want me money." And it was quite brutal. But here in the story of Ruth, we see how Ruth received what she was given in humble gratitude, knowing that it was undeserved grace and favor. Boaz then invites her to join with him in the meal that he had for the whole team. Ruth's humble, loving character continues to shine. She's given more than she needs. So instead of greedily eating the lot, she tucks a share away, which we'll see later. She brings out to give Naomi, who is probably doing without. What a beautiful, beautiful display of humility, loyalty, and loving kindness we see in Ruth. A real beauty, as Peter describes in 1 Peter 3, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit which is of greater worth in God's sight. That's the beauty of Ruth. Let's circle back and look at Boaz. When the author introduces Boaz in verse 1, the NIV translates it as he is a man of standing. I believe that the more literal translation for this phrase is actually he would be a mighty man of wealth. The author immediately holds him up as a pillar of society who has wealth. And we can certainly assume this from the fact that he's got farmland and he had hired hands to do the work for him. But when Boaz appears in the story itself, he comes into the field and the first thing he does is to greet his workers, his workforce. Verse 4, "The Lord be with you." Now, "God bless you" is something that quite often just rolls off the tongue of many people. And sometimes we wonder at the sincerity or actually what the person means when they say it. But here we see the standing of the man as an upright and righteous man, and the harvesters all respond to him. "The Lord bless you," they answered. It's clear that there's a relationship between Boaz and those who work for him. Boaz isn't just interested in his profits coming to check on the yield. The workforce were not just faces in a crowd, but Boaz took genuine interest in everyone. And we see that as he spots Ruth in the crowd and immediately asks about her. Now, when I left college, I worked for a power station generation equipment manufacturer in Newcastle. The company was founded by Sir Charles Algernon Parsons, who developed the steam turbine engine, which he famously showed off to the Royal Navy by driving his experimental ship Turbinia at high speed right through the middle of the Navy Fleet Review in 1897 at Spithead. Now, when I was working at the company, one of the old technicians that I worked with reckoned that he had actually had the great, great privilege of meeting Sir Charles in person, and that Sir Charles had even spoken to him. At least this is the story. He told me that as a young apprentice, he must have been very young, he had been in the machine shop sweeping the floor when Sir Charles came into the shop, and as Sir Charles approached him, he came and he raised his stick and waved it in the air and said, "Get out of my way, boy." Now, the story is most certainly apocryphal because Sir Charles died in 1931. But we've all experienced situations like that where we are not important enough for attention by those above us. But how different to Boaz. Boaz goes over to Ruth and speaks to her, not in a stick-waving, aggressive way, but gently and kindly. "My daughter, listen to me," he says. He approaches this stranger, this foreigner, with loving kindness. Verse 8, he calls her "my daughter," a term of belonging, not just a casual greeting, but one that immediately indicates acceptance. Now, Boaz gave her assurance of his protection by telling her, "I've told the men not to lay a hand on you." As a young woman on her own, and a foreigner too, she was so vulnerable, as we mentioned earlier. And last week on BBC, don't know if you saw it, they were interviewing a number of health workers who are descendants from the Windrush generation who came over from the West Indies. Now, a large number of those immigrants got jobs in the newly founded NHS. And it was shocking to hear their stories. Shocking to hear the way these people came and committed their lives to working in the care for others, and yet they were to receive so much abuse because of the colour of the skin. Despite their tireless service to the sick, they were looked down on and treated badly. Now, this kind of behaviour is not unique to the British. Such discrimination is common in every society, and in the story of Ruth, it would not be unexpected as she, a Moabite, comes to work in the field. And yet Boaz shows her such loving kindness and grace as he welcomes her in and provides protection for her. Boaz then meets her immediate needs by telling her that she's free to help herself from the water for the workers. And it doesn't stop there. At mealtime, Boaz invites her to sit with him, verse 14. "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." Now, interestingly, in Deuteronomy, and we're touching on Deuteronomy and Leviticus a lot through this book, but in Deuteronomy, there is a command that states no Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord. They were to be excluded from the presence of God. And why? Because when the Israelites came out of Egypt and passed through the Ammonite and Moabite lands, we are told that the Ammonites and Moabites did not come to meet them with bread and water. And here we have Boaz, an Israelite, providing bread and water for the Moabite. Boaz has recognized in Ruth such humble loyalty and loving kindness towards Naomi, and that she has left her past behind, cut off all ties with her people and her gods, and has come seeking refuge under the Lord of Israel's wing. Boaz doesn't turn her away, but instead prays a blessing over her, verse 12. "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And then finally, we see that Boaz doesn't stop giving. He's like the father in the story of the prodigal son. When the son comes back to the home, having squandered all the inheritance that he'd been given by his father, the father welcomes him back, puts a robe on his back, rings on his finger, then slaughters a fattened calf for a massive celebration party. Boaz instructs the men to give even greater freedom to Ruth to gather in the field. If you look at verse 15, "Let her gather among the sheaves," he tells his men, "and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some of the stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." Boaz has shown loving kindness on a massive scale to Ruth. And we see the impact of this as Ruth returns to Naomi. And we look at how Naomi's character changes. Naomi, who at the end of chapter 1 is full of bitterness and hopelessness, sees how much Ruth has brought back. We're told there is about an ephah of grain. That's about 13 kilograms and is far more than anyone would pick up from scraps in the field. And Ruth pulls out the leftovers from lunch and hands it over to Naomi. In amazement, Naomi cries out the question, verse 19, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So Ruth tells her the field was owned by a chap named Boaz. Suddenly, this flare that went off at the beginning of the chapter, suddenly this bright shining light blazes on Naomi. All the glimmers of hope that we saw through chapter 1 into chapter 2 now become a blazing dawn of realization for Naomi. Having been so consumed by her bitterness and her belief in the hand of God being against her and her family, she now sees in glorious technicolor the loving kindness of God, and she exclaims in verse 20, "The Lord bless him." And she goes on to proclaim, "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." The "he" here being the Lord. She had returned to Bethlehem in a dark place where the hand of God was against her and her family, leaving her alone with no husband, no sons, no grandsons. But now she sees God's provision. That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. Not only has the Lord provided abundantly for their immediate needs, showing his kindness to the living, but he has provided hope for the future, showing his kindness to the dead. God has met their immediate needs of food, but he's also provided a redeemer that ensures the future of the family. All of those "it just so happens" moments are the loving kindness of God making a way to provide for and to bless Naomi. This is not just some random act of kindness, but is the loving kindness of God being shown through the characters of this story. This chapter has been a wonderful display of the loving kindness of God, who makes provision and protection for the poor, the outcast, and the foreigner, and gives abundant blessing. And this is just a foretaste of the greatest display of loving kindness, not just to two women, but to everyone and anyone who seeks refuge and shelter under God's wing. The Bible teaches us that when it comes to the kingdom of God, we are all outcasts. We are all foreigners. Due to our sin, like the sin of the Moabites, we stand rejected and condemned already in eternal separation from God. But yet, God, in his loving kindness, when we seek the shelter and provision of his wing by coming to him, humbly seeking his grace through our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, he welcomes us in. So if you're not a follower of Jesus, but maybe thinking about it or inquiring, this story is a wonderful story of the promise of God's acceptance, no matter who you are, where you're from, or even what you've done. If you seek the shelter of his wing through our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, there is protection and provision for, as you find the loving kindness of God. If you are trusting in Jesus this morning, the story of Naomi is a wonderful encouragement that in times when we are in a dark place and we can't see God's hand at work, and we can't see God's blessing, what we can know is that God is still working his purposes out. He has already provided a redeemer for us. We may have to struggle through the difficult times, feeling lost and alone, but we know we can rest assured that God will provide. We can trust in his sovereign grace. Naomi still went through immense pain of loss of her husband and sons. She still hit rock bottom, but God was still there. And when God's plan unfolds, Naomi's response is joy and worship as she knows that the Lord is good. As we see the hand of the Lord working in our lives and his great Redeemer, knowing that our future is secure in his hands, what is our response? It can only be to join in with Naomi and sing his praise. He has not stopped showing his loving kindness, that loving kindness of God who blesses abundantly all who seek after him. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your loving kindness. Help us to understand. Help us to see that glimmer of hope, even in the dark times. Lord, to know that you have sent your Redeemer and we can trust in him. You are working your purposes out. Help us to rejoice. Help us to worship you like Naomi did, that you have not stopped showing your loving kindness to all of us. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your loving kindness to us through Jesus. Amen.